Morning, everybody. As a lot of you know, I grew up in the Midwest. Specifically, I spent my summers on the farm with my dad in Iowa. And one of the things you do when you're country folk like that is that you go swimming. But you don't go swimming in a box in the ground that's painted blue and has chlorine in it. You go find the muddiest river you can find, which is all of them, and you find deep spots and you go swim in them. So when I was very young, five, six, we went swimming at a local, just part of the river that goes by us that was kind of deep so that we could swim in it. And it was deeper than I was. And when I say that I went swimming there, I'm using that term very loosely. Nobody had ever really taught me to swim. I could sort of doggy paddle and sometimes sort of make it look like maybe I'm not doggy paddling, but I am just doggy paddling. And I didn't realize that there were some dangers in the river that I needed to be aware of, but my siblings thought it would be funny to not tell me about them, because I have a great family. No, I really do. If you guys watch this, love you, you're great. I went out into the river that I knew that in the middle it got deeper than I was, so I knew to be kind of careful of that, but I wanted to get to the other side of the river. I thought that would be a neat kind of goal. So I jumped out there, you know, all by myself. Nobody was really paying attention to me. And I just started swimming straight across. And I could feel myself drifting downriver against just because there's that flow and worked against that. But when I got to a particular spot in the river, I hit a current. And those things are hard to see, especially when you're not used to looking for them, and I wasn't. And I very quickly found myself going downstream very fast, right in the middle, and it took me exactly to the deep spot that I couldn't stand up. I couldn't reach the bottom. And I doggy paddled my very best, but eventually I got swept way, way down the river and was happy to have survived it, that I got back to the proper side and then went back to my siblings. And I remember that, you know, I had bare feet, and I had to walk over twigs and rocks and things for quite a while to get back to where people were. And I'm very happy to say that I survived that day. But I learned something very important, that the world around us has powerful forces in it that want to move us places, like currents. And that it's very important to pay attention, to be aware of them, number one, and pay attention to them so that you know when they're coming and you know that you can work against them. And what I've found in life is that there's no place where that's more true or more important than in our journey to become the person that God created us to be. That there are all kinds of things shaping us. You might remember earlier in this series, I showed you an x-ray of my foot and it was a picture of how my shoes had kind of warped my feet. That shoes kind of come to a point at the end, and that's really not what feet do. And so I learned that the foot pain that I was having was because I had forces smushing my feet into a shape that they didn't want to be. And that resulted in a whole lot of positive changes for me because I learned how to change that. You might also remember that we talked about in that same message the forces that do shape us, things like our environment, in our culture, the habits that we perform every day, the people that we choose to hang out with. And what I'd like to do today is take all of those ideas that we've been covering for a while now, and we're going to get really, really super practical today. I actually have worksheets on the table in the back that you'll go and grab afterward, but whenever I bring worksheets, you know we're going to get to the nitty-gritty. So this is going to be fun. In this part of our Practicing the Way series, today is about getting real, about getting in touch with the reality of who we are, who we want to be, who we don't want to be, and how we're doing in our progress. We're going to take a look at just ourselves on our journey and say, you know what, here are the places where I feel like I'm moving in the wrong direction. There's forces moving me in that direction, and I want to push the opposite way. That's what we're going to do today, and also in my next message or two. We're going to be looking at these forces that shape us so that we can learn where we want to push against them, because they're taking us someplace where we don't want to go, just like that current in the river. There's this wonderful poem in the Bible. Michael read it previously. It's 3,000 years old. The Jewish people and the Christian people, us, have been singing this as a song and reading it as a poem. And it used to strike me as very odd. But here it is in Psalm 139. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine. Test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong, and then guide me on the road to eternal life. Now, my first question is, why would anybody ever pray that? Why would I ask someone to figure out what's wrong with me and give me a list? When I was a kid, I was taught that God doesn't like it when I'm bad. And I was given the impression, at least, God would like me better if I fixed the things that are wrong with me. And I think that was totally backwards. What I've come to see is this, is that I was made to be an awesome person. That God had an idea called John, and he made it happen and is making it happen. That I'm not quite there yet. There's a process. And that whenever God does anything, he loves to do it together. So God's project with me of building this really, really neat person is a project that he's doing with me, that he doesn't want to just snap his fingers and I become something. That's really not how God likes to work. God likes to do stuff with me to become this thing that's awesome, that I can just sort of glimpse. And I think that John is really cool. And I think current John is really cool, and so does God. As we go through today about investigating our lives and taking honest, hard looks at ourselves, it's not because God will like us any less if we don't. It's because a good and beautiful life is what we were destined for. It's what you're made for. And if you want to make progress, you need to get real about yourself and where you're at. You need to know where you're at and where you want to go. And pay attention to both of those things, and it makes growth happen. So that's what we're going to get into today. This is going to be the ancient sacred practice of self-examination, of just taking a look at yourself and being honest, so that that's how change becomes possible, when you know where you're at and you know where you want to go. So the first thing that we're going to do, we're going to do three things today. I am going to walk you through this practice of self-examination, and I'm just going to give you an example just by talking about myself. So the rest of the sermon's about me. Isn't that great? So that you can grab a handout off the back after church and spend a while looking at it, praying through it, and working on it. This is a practice that I try to do once a year, generally during Advent, which begins the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So this is a perfect time to be starting to talk about this, to reflect and think about where we're at. And what we're going to do today, you're going to get three very clear pictures of me. In that Psalm 139, God, get a clear picture of what I'm about. I'm going to get three pictures of what I'm about. And, you know, you'll learn all kinds of things about me that you didn't realize were true, or maybe you did. But we're going to get a picture of my character, of where I'm at right now, where I'm doing well, where I'm doing not so well. We're also going to look at the forces that shape my character. We're going to look at two of them today, my relationships, the people that I hang out with, and how they're affecting me, and also my habits, the things that I do every day, and how those activities are shaping me and making me into a certain character. So right here, this is my list of where I don't want to be and where I want to be. This is a result of a lot of time spent in prayer with God and with God in the Bible, and looking at what it has to say about the kind of person I was created to be, and then also the opposite, the kind of person that I might naturally want to be that isn't as great. So we're going to look at whether I'm discontent or content, and I'm just going to walk through these with you. And these are all going to be on your handout that you can look at afterward. So God made me to be contented, to be satisfied, to be able to say every day, God has been so good to me. God is being good to me right now. And on the spectrum between content and discontent, this is gonna start with a negative, that I tend to be a discontented person. A, it's a very normal human thing to pay most of our attention to the bad stuff. There's a little piece of your brain about the size of an almond right in the middle called your amygdala, and it's there to look for danger all the time. Look for anything that's wrong, and that's just how we're wired. And it takes effort to push against that. And in addition, my personality just tends to have a good deal of neurotic in it, that in every group of people, there needs to be a few people, generally it's about 20%, who are going to be better at paying attention to the bad things. It's part of what makes the tribe or the group better able to survive, because there's some people who are always seeing the risks. And I happen to be one of those people. So I have a bigger uphill push than some people. But discontent tends to be where I land. Contentment has been a lifelong challenge for me. I'm making progress, but that's just kind of where I'm at. That's a place where I'd like to go, is away from discontent and toward content. And we'll talk about that more later. On the spectrum of being anxious versus being relaxed, I'm kind of in flux right now, partly because of my personality and my amygdala. I tend to be more on the worried side. But I have noticed God really working with me on that and giving me opportunities to grow. And so I'm happy to say I'm a little bit more in the middle between anxious and not anxious than I used to be. The next one, God made me to be humble, not to be judgmental. Humble simply means that you have an honest take on yourself. You have a realistic vision of who you are and where you stand in the scheme of things. When I'm judgmental, what I'm doing is thinking of myself as better than other people. And sometimes I feel that way. It's best not to. I have tended to, in the last maybe decade, I think I've become more humble. I think I was much more judgmental growing up, that I grew up religious. I grew up really trying to follow the rules and be a good person. And I saw a lot of people who weren't. So I tended to think of myself as, yeah, kind of on the upper echelon, you know? That's a part of a thing that can happen in a religious upbringing. But in past years, I think God has helped me get a better understanding of myself, and it hasn't all been pretty. Like, this would have been a much harder exercise for me a decade ago. But I think I've gotten a much more realistic view of myself, and I've become more humble, and I'm very proud of that. Another way that God wants me to be is to not be a person who tries to control other people. Have you ever known someone like that who's just sort of naturally dominant and they really just need to get their own way? That they know what's right for you and it matters a lot to them that you do what they tell you to do or that you move in whatever direction they're trying to push you. It's a way of being a bully. It's a narrow way. I think I am naturally more gentle than that. I tend to live and let live quite a lot. And I tend to be not a very controlling person, as far as I'm aware. God also wants me to be a person who values people, because God does. God values every one of us in here because we're his children. And he thinks we're awesome and is every day so excited about how you're doing in life. Even when we fail, God is so on our side and cheering us on, because that's what a good father does. On the opposite side of that spectrum, if you don't value people, you can tend to become a manipulator or a user. In the spectrum between using people or valuing people, I tend more on the using people side, and I want to explain what it is that I mean by that. I've talked about this before, just kind of one of my things, my dark, yucky things inside of me, is that I'm terribly afraid that I'm not important and that I don't matter. So a lot of the currents and forces in my life are the forces that make me try to feel important. And dark things come out of that. For me, the way that comes out is that I try to make sure the people around me know that I'm important. And if they think I'm important, that feels really good to me. And what I'm doing there is I'm using people to fill a hole in me. And I don't have a right to do that. I don't get to use people. Instead, what I want is to value people and not use them for my own purposes, because people aren't things. That's really what it comes down to. But sometimes I treat people like things, like they're there to make me feel better. And you know what? You're not. You're there to be my friend and my brother and sister. On another spectrum, God, of course, wants us to love. Love God, love others sums up everything. It actually sums up all of this. And one thing that we can sometimes do is not love people. And instead, we might see them as obstacles or rivals, people that we have to get rid of or push to the side, that we might need to control them rather than value them. I tend to be on the loving people side. That I think that was partly just because I was raised well. I had really good parents. Despite the fact that I talk bad about my parents and my siblings quite a lot, they were great, and they really taught me some good things. And loving people, not hurting people, is a big part of things. One aspect of abusing people that the Bible talks quite a lot about, like more than you think it would, it talks about abusing people with your words. It's very into focusing on the things that you say to people or about people that will hurt them. Because we all do it. It's a way to control people, to say bad things about them. But I've tended on the loving people side, and I'm making good progress there. This next one really comes right from the heart of God. It's about reconciling broken relationships. That when there's a relationship that needs help, that is hurting somehow, God's instinct and our instinct, when our instincts are running properly, is to bring things together and to heal rifts wherever they are. And another thing that we could do is to have an us versus them attitude, which is never a good thing. And it's something that's in our culture very deep and large right now. I was raised to hate Russians. And I had a really solid us versus them training that whenever something bad happens, the Russians did it. That's just me and my generation. That's how we saw things. And I find us versus them being a very powerful thing in America right now. It's like with politics, and it's, you know what, we're good guys. Those people over there, those are bad guys, and we need to crush them one way or another. That is not a healthy attitude to have. And I feel myself kind of on that spectrum right now. I feel God taking me out of that us versus them attitude and more into a bringing people together and understanding people instead of judging them perspective. God made us to be dependable, and I haven't always been dependable. I have ADHD, and I love to blame things on that. But in my walk with God and my walk with my family, I've really discovered how much the people around me really need me to be reliable. And it's really been hitting home for me in the past maybe decade, and I've made a lot of progress. And I'm happy to say, you know, I've tipped the scale on this one, that I've become more dependable than undependable. I still have progress to make, but that's where I'm at. And then finally, the Bible and God care about us being in control of ourselves versus not controlled. Whenever the Bible talks about don't go get drunk and don't take drugs and stuff like that, I think it's really this that it's talking about. That if your life hurts in such a way that you need to just get out of control, drunk and intoxicated, that's not a great idea for you. There's probably a deeper problem. And that's something that I've been growing into and have become more self-controlled. So, while I went through all of that, that's my snapshot, my clear picture of where I'm at, who I am right now, what my character is. Character is just who you are when no one's watching. So when you guys aren't watching, this is me. And I've gotten to a place where in church, I'm much more myself than I used to be. I've given up on pretending that I'm more content than I am, or that I value people more than I do. You guys know me better than most. So that's my snapshot of my character. And the next thing that we're going to do is get two more snapshots, two more clear pictures of the forces that are causing this. Like, this is not getting caused just because I choose to use people and not think of people as valuable. I don't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to be so uncontent today. There's forces that push me in this direction, and we're going to look at them, and I'm going to make some decisions about what I'm going to do about it. So first, we're going to look at relationships. Now, this will be on your worksheet as well, but what I did, I made a list of people that I interact with more or less every day. This doesn't include, like, social media people. I'm finding more and more that those aren't real relationships. They don't really affect me in the way that I used to kind of think that they did. This is all people that I talk to face-to-face, either every day or every week. There's the people I live with, the people I work with, and then also the people that I see roughly once a week. And a lot of that tends to be you guys. And the people that I live with, my family, and also the people that I know at church, those are all here right now. So it would be very awkward for me to talk about how they're affecting me badly. So I'm just gonna gray those out for right now. If you want to know, come see me. I'm just going to talk about people at work. First, there's people on the bus that I commute to work. I take the local bus, and I see them. I don't necessarily talk to them, but I'm with them. And it's enough that I need to put them on my list of daily people. And then Mark is my supervisor, and Arash, Dan, John, and Helena are coworkers. There's people that I work with in some way or another most every day. And when I want to ask the question, these people that I'm with every day, how are they affecting me? Or more accurately, how does my way of relating to them affect me? And some of them are pretty positive in their effect on me. Mark, my supervisor, I think he's like exactly the right kind of boss for me. He's made me more dependable because I like him a lot. I can honestly say I love Mark, and I want him to look good. And the way I do that is by doing my job and dependably being there for all of the things that he needs me to be there for. Because when I am, he looks good. He looks like a good leader. And I know that whenever he goes and talks to like the big bosses or the C-level people, he always brings me up. He always talks about me so that they know who I am and that I look good. Mark is great. Arash and Helena, those are two coders, computer programmers that I work with quite a lot. They make me value people because they are just so valuable. I thank God every day that I get to work with Arash and Helena because I think they're just awesome. They're pretty different from me in a lot of ways, but I just love that they're there. And that it's making me a person who values people more. And that's really something that I want. Then on the other side, there's some people, some relationships that are pushing me in the opposite direction. And those are the ones that I particularly want to pay attention to. When I ride on the bus, it's a local bus. It's not an express bus. There's express buses that take you straight from the suburbs to downtown. And I don't like to wipe snow off my car and then go to the park and ride so that I can get that bus. So I get on the bus right near my house. And really, it's the bus for people who don't actually have cars. When you have a car, you go to the park and ride. And you ride basically with people who are downtown office professionals like you. When you ride the local bus, you're riding with people who are lower on our socioeconomic totem pole. And something that I noticed when I did this exercise, this was about a year ago, was the first time I noticed this. I was getting judgmental of people. Like, people would get on the bus and they would like really, really smell really strongly of marijuana, for example. And that's not something that I do. It's a drug that really isn't a temptation for me. And so I started to feel like I was better than the other people on the bus. And feeling kind of bad that, you know, a person as great as me has to smell marijuana smoke when I don't want to. I was getting an attitude about people, and I didn't even realize that I was doing it. Generally, that's how this works. Those invisible currents, they take you to places that you don't want to go. And I realized that I was being very judgmental toward the people that were around me. I was thinking negative things about them and puffing myself up a bit. So I made a decision that I saw that I was getting infected in this direction by my relationship with these people, and I made some choices to push against it. So now, whenever I'm on the bus, I watch out for that attitude to happen, because it does, and I always very consciously, when someone gets on the bus, I look at them, and I try to take whatever cues they've got to learn what kind of person that they are, what kind of life that they have. I think about, that person who smells a lot like marijuana, I bet his life is so hard that he really wants to just numb that a bit. I wonder what makes his life so hard. And there have been times where I've actually been able to strike up conversations with these people and get to know them. And every single time that I have, I've grown as a result. And I've improved in my vision of them. And I've lost my ability to judge them more and more and more over time because I'm being aware of this current, pushing against it. And then once I get to work, there's a couple coworkers who are, first of all, great guys. They work with me on my team. I work with them every day. But like I told you before, I really, really want to feel important. And when I'm with them, I don't feel important. I tend to like really warm people who really express, wow, I'm so glad that you are the person who's in the room with me right now, and that's awesome. I love people who are like that. Arash and Helena and Mark are like that. Dan and John, who, like I said, are great guys, they're just not warm people. They don't think about stuff like that. They're more task-oriented than I am, and they just get to work. They don't put in any extra effort to, I don't know, massage my ego or make me feel warm and fuzzy. That's just not their personality. And when that happens, I found myself trying to control their perceptions of me or using them to maybe I can get them to say something about me that'll make me feel good. These relationships are part of the reason that I'm that way or a part of how that part of my character comes out. So I've being aware of those currents, I've started pushing back on them. One thing that I used to do with Dan and John is that I've tried to be negative because whenever I'm that way, they kind of they resonate with that because they're quite often thinking about the things that aren't being done right. And if I do that too, I'll be more like one of them. And it's a way that I can feel good about myself and feel like I fit in. I've also spent time and energy trying to impress them. I'm not particularly proud of this. That's kind of how this whole sermon is. You're getting to see the things about myself that I'm not proud of. But I've tried to make them see how great I am. And if you've ever known anybody like that, you know how annoying those people can be. I was that guy. I still want to be that guy. That current really does have a strong push on me. But because I'm aware of it, and because I've thought about my relationship with these two, I've learned to pay attention to it, to see it when it's there, and to push against it, to swim against that current. So in my relationship with them, the big thing that's changed is I've stopped chiming in and being negative and being things that I'm not to make them like me better. I've just stopped doing those things. And I just have to sit there with the fact that these two guys like me just fine. They're my coworkers. They're my friends even. They're just not warm, fuzzy people. And I just let that happen. And that's hard because I really want to get warm fuzzies from people. But I've just stopped doing it. So do you see how this works? You notice the currents that are pushing you in a direction that you don't want to go, and then you push against them. That's really all that this is. So that's where we get real about relationships. Next picture we're going to get is a clear picture of my habits, about the things that I do basically every day or every week. And then, just like with relationships, I'm going to go through each one and think about what direction is this activity pushing me in? And is it pushing me in a direction that I want to go? So here's my daily routine, roughly in order, that I wake up in the morning and I look at my phone. You're going to see in a minute, that's not a great idea to do. I go wash my face, do various hygienic things. Not to brag or anything, but I shower frequently. Then I go have some coffee, get on the bus, and I've already talked about my commute a little bit. I work and work and work. I skip lunch. I generally don't need lunch. And then when I get home, I have a dinner with my family. I work on a business that I'm trying to start. And then there's always a part of the evening, or most evenings, where I sit down with Jude and we talk about anything that needs to be talked about, and we watch some TV. That's part of how we bond. And then there's usually some time where I have nothing to do, so I just sort of flip through my phone. So phone comes back again. And then right at the end of the day, I talk with Kay. We kind of check in, and usually we watch something funny on TV. Like, I've found that my life is better when I laugh at things with my wife. It's just a nice way to end the day. I feel good about it when we do. And then I sleep, and I'm proud of the fact that my sleep cycle is pretty good. And then about 4 o'clock in the morning, at most days, I wake up and I worry for about an hour. I really didn't think about this until I did this exercise. But I'm like, you know what, there's a habit going on there. I have the habit that when I wake up, I just start worrying about the day and think about all the things that I should be worrying about that I'm not. I started this when I was a little kid, and it's just a pattern with me. So that's like my daily routine, more or less. And my weekly routine is like a lot of that, but it has a few more things. Usually on Saturdays, I work on my business the whole day, or I work on sermons. It's usually one of those two things. I try to meet with friends in one way or another every week. I have coffee with some friends. There's other friends that I have lunch with. And then church, that's a big chunk of my weekly thing. And generally, on Sunday afternoon, I work on my business some more, and in the evening, I have a movie with family. That's my routine. These are my habits. And on the worksheet that you're going to get later on, you can get as detailed as you want. I would even recommend getting more detailed with this. I was limited by just how big a slide is. So now that I have my calendar sort of laid out, my habits, these things that I do, I looked at some of them, and I'm like, how are these affecting my character? Some of them were kind of neutral. You know, I thought about, you know, the fact that I drink coffee. You know, is that a thing that's helping me? Is it a thing that's not? I realized a couple of years ago that it was something that I was getting addicted to, and that was something that I didn't want. It was something on that negative side of my character that I didn't want to go there. So I've started drinking coffee only every other day. And what that means is that I can go a week without coffee and not have a headache. That was really my goal. So I'm cool with coffee now. We have a good relationship, very good relationship. My commute, I've already talked about. Skipping lunch, I thought about that, and I've done some research, and I'm fine and happy with my eating patterns. They work for me. I know they don't work for everybody, but they do. I thought about the amount of TV that I watch. With Jude and with Kay, I'm like, yeah, is that okay? Could I be doing better? And I came to the place where, you know what, I'm cool with that. It's just a way that I bond with my kid and a way that I bond with my wife. And it's easy and it's nice, and I'm not going to address that. I don't feel like it's a problem. Then on the other side, there's some of my habits that are quite positive, that they push me in directions that I like to go. Whenever I have dinner with my family, or when I work on my business, when I talk with my wife or with my son and with my friends, when I go to church, when I work on my business, those things are all helping me become more content. Like, I have that natural discontent, but something in the past few years, I've learned how awesome my life is. I mean, I've just been trying to practice more gratitude. And whenever I do these things, the main effect that I get out of it is that I'm enjoying life. That I get to sit with my family, with the people that I work with, and realize how great that they are. And I'm growing in contentment. It's not easy for me, but it's really been happening in the past few years, and I'm really happy. And it's these practices and learning to just sit still and appreciate things that have really helped me. They're pushing me in a good direction. Okay, the fact that I take showers and that I bathe, this is a weird thing to be proud of, but I am. I was raised in a rather chaotic household, when I was a child, I didn't build up good habits about, you know, bathing and brushing my teeth and things like that. So when I get up in the morning and I have the amount of self-discipline it takes to, you know, go brush my teeth, wash my face, take a shower, stuff like that, that's actually a big deal for me. That every time that I do that, I'm learning how much I value myself. And that taking care of myself is a good, worthwhile thing to do. The fact that I get good sleep every night, that did not come naturally to me. I really had to work on that. And the fact that I get a solid, like, 8 hours of sleep a night is something that I'm very proud of. And every time I do it, I learn that I'm a person worth taking care of. then there are some things that have been pushing me in a bad direction. And these are the ones that I really want to look at and talk about. That getting up first thing in the morning, look at my phone, that was awful for me. I mean, really. Because when you get on your phone, mainly what you see is news stories that aren't really news stories. They're just somebody telling you what you should be enraged about today. And I mean, and I really took that to heart for a while. Like, wow, I should really be furious about this, or X, Y, Z, whatever it is they tell me to be mad about. They were pretty good at persuading me. I should be very upset today because the world is going to hell and it's these people's problem. The time that I spent on my phone was making me more us versus them. It was making me more judgmental. It was making me anxious. It was definitely adding to my discontent. Like, how can I be content in a world where all of this terrible stuff is happening all the time? So I had to start thinking about that. And I'll tell you what I did. There's really those two times a day that I tend to scroll. And I started thinking about, well, okay, what am I going to do about these habits? A, I stopped doing them. But I didn't just stop doing them. I replaced them with a better habit. You might notice that there's a couple things missing very glaringly from my daily schedule, like exercise and relaxation. Two things I'm not particularly good at, things that I'm really working on building habits for. So I thought, well, you know what? These are habits that I'm going to quit. I'm going to stop being on the phone as much as I am. I'm going to find a way to stop worrying in the middle of the night. Here's what I'm going to do. Relaxing is something that I'm going to do instead of the phone. When I first get up, instead of picking up my phone, and I've been doing this for roughly a month. It was about a month ago that I came up with the idea for this message. And so I've been practicing. I've been actually doing this. And instead of looking at my phone, I leave it there. I pray first thing in the morning. And what I do, I don't know if any of you have watched The Chosen. I really recommend that you do. It's about the ministry of Jesus, those years. And it's really great. And one thing that you might notice that the characters do, that when as soon as they wake up, they have a little morning prayer that they do. It's just part of Jewish spiritual formation. It's just a part of their pattern. And I decided to adopt that. And when I get up in the morning, I have the impulse to reach for my phone, and then I remember, and I don't. And instead, I say a prayer out loud. If Kay is still in bed, I go into the bathroom before I pray. And I say, let's see, what is it? Lord and living master of the universe, I give you thanks today, for you have restored my soul within me. Great is your faithfulness. And it's short, and that's good, because I have very few brain cells in the morning. But I have enough that I can remember to do that. Sometimes I say it a few times to make it sink in a little bit. And then as I'm going through my bathroom routine, I continue praying, and I talk to God about the day. And I try to focus on all of the things about my life that I'm grateful for, and specifically the things that are going to happen that day that I'm grateful for. And it changes the way that my day gets started so much. I've really begun to enjoy it. It's a special time with me and God that I wasn't having before. Instead of getting shaped into an anxious, angry, worried person, I was becoming a person who was grateful for the day, who was content with life, and was excited about starting the day. That's what happens when you swim against the current. You can move in directions that you want. My phone time in the evening, when I'm done watching TV with Jude, it's not time to watch TV and hang out with Karen yet. I've stopped using my phone then, or I'm trying to. This one I'm making less progress with because I'm exhausted, and whenever I'm exhausted, that's what I want to go toward. It's an instinct. What I'm learning to do, and I've had some success, is that I exercise just a little bit right then. That I do 10 push-ups and 10 squats. That is not a lot. That is not the amount of exercise that I need, but it's an amount that I can do. And it's an amount that I can do every single day. And as that becomes more of a habit, I'm still in process, it will be a place where I can start building on that and that I can start adding exercise. So I can get this new habit in my life that I really need. It's very important. And then in that nighttime when I worry, I just pray some more. That one's very hard. It's hard to be grateful to God when you wake up in the middle of the night and you need more sleep and you're not getting it. That's why it's very easy to worry right then. But when I notice that I do it, I stop it. And instead I pray and I think about the things that I'm thankful for. And then the fact that I haven't been relaxing, that's actually a pretty big one. I struggle with that. When I refuse to relax ever, it's because I think the whole world is on my shoulders and I have to carry it and there's so much to do and I don't have time to take a break. So it's a terrible way to live. It's a way to live as if God is not there taking care of me all the time. So what I'm going to do this afternoon, I'm not going to work on my business, and there's a lot of instincts to do so because I have so much to do with it. Instead, I am just going to relax. I'm going to do good things for me. For me, a lot of times that'll include taking a walk, getting some kind of exercise, be outside. I'm probably also going to listen to some podcasts that are positive for me, and I like how they affect me. That is something that I want to really build out that relaxation part of my life. And I'm not much progress yet. Maybe by the next time I speak, I'll have some to report. But I'm excited about that one because I'm tired a lot of the time because I haven't been getting the relaxation that I'm at. Okay, so to see how that works, you want to know where you are in your character, you know, where you want to grow, where you're already growing, where something big is happening, where God is pushing you one way or the other. You want to know how your relationships are affecting you. And this is an exercise I try to do once a year. It really kind of gets me to notice things that I wasn't noticing otherwise. And you would look at your relationships and also your habits. I did this last Advent. I'm doing it now. And I strongly recommend this exercise to you because it can really grow you. It can give you the things that you need to notice what's going on and where you need to swim against the current. Because in this project that God is in with us, like I said before, God loves to do things together. God is on this project pushing me to be more and more awesome every single day. And I love that I get to be a part of that. It makes my life good that I have a project that just God and me are working on together. And that's what this is. It's not because God doesn't like us if we're bad. It's that God loves us and wants us to have all of the life and aliveness and beauty and energy that he has, to be as excited about our life as he is. And as we move into a time of worship, I want to bring the worship band up. And we're gonna transition into a time where we have a bodily experience called the Eucharist, where we're going to eat bread and drink wine. And what these are pictures of the partnership that we have with God, the way that we're working together, not just on ourselves, but on our whole community and with the whole world, that God is at work making us awesome and making the world awesome. And we have the promise that someday that is really all going to come true, that God is good at what he does and is going to get us to that place. But we're not going to get there alone. A, because it's God's project, and B, because he wants us in the project with him. And as we do that, it is necessary for us to get God into us. And that's what the bread and the wine are a picture of, that the fuel for change and for becoming awesome doesn't come from us. It comes from God, who is all around us and is with us all the time, every day. And he is there to give us everything that we need. Everything that we need to live a good and beautiful life. So as you come forward, later there's two tables. You'll come forward and you will take the bread. There's gluten-free bread and there's regular bread. You can dip it into the wine or the juice. And when you take it into your body, I want you to think about the energy that that food gives you to push against the currents that are taking you to places that you don't want to go, because God is here for you to make that happen. And this is open to everyone. I don't know if someone's new here today and like you don't know if you're allowed. You're allowed. You come on up. God has so many gifts for you, so many good things, And it's all symbolized in this bread and in this wine. So if you want what God has for you, that's all that there is to it, come have some. It's for you. Let's pray. God, investigate my life. Find out everything about me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. Give me a clear picture of what I'm about. Because whenever I get a clear picture of you, you are beauty itself. You are goodness itself. And it is so amazing and so attractive. I want nothing more than to be a part of that. I want my life to be a dance with you, a dance of beauty and goodness and truth. Lord, I ask that you give to us in these elements of bread and wine, give to us the desire to become the people that you made us to be. Fill us with your desire, with your thoughts, with your feelings about us, that we can love ourselves and each other as much as you do. Fill us with your own life, symbolized in this as this bread and this wine. Fill us with you, because we are so excited about where you're taking us. Thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The table.